For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4:5. And now the message from the pulpit of Wealthy Park Baptist Church of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
We're back in our study, The Road to Deliverance. Back with Moses. The more I study about Moses, the more I like him. You know why? Because he's a whole lot like the rest of us. And the thing that's really great about the Bible is it doesn't cover over the sins and mistakes of Bible heroes. Did you notice that? Today we're talking about the pain of jealousy and envy. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God together. Numbers chapter 12, we'll begin reading at verse 1. And it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall be he behold. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days. And the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. You may be seated. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 9 says, Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam. And I think it's important that we really think about some of these instances in the Bible and remember what was taught and what was learned from those experiences. In this particular passage, of course, we have Miriam and Aaron. And as we've been studying them, we know that they are the brother and sister of Moses. And of course, Moses being the youngest of the three. And let me just say this to you, and this is something that families sometimes have to deal with. When the youngest of the family is very successful, some of the older ones don't like it, or they become envious and jealous of that younger one. But anyway, Miriam and Aaron, in this particular case, speak against Moses because he had married an Ethiopian or a Cushite woman. Now, to just really be blunt about this, that was a smokescreen. That wasn't the real issue here. And we'll try to clarify that for you in just a little bit about the Ethiopian woman and all of that. But the real issue was that they were jealous and envious of Moses. Now, Moses has become successful. Moses was very much revered by the whole company of Israel. They knew him, and he had a special relationship with God. Miriam and Aaron didn't have that. And so they spoke out against him, and their attitude was very arrogant. They said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" Well, that was an arrogant statement. And let me just say this to you, that being envious and jealous goes along with being arrogant. The three kind of go together. But here is this statement. And the real interesting thing is that at the conclusion of that, it says, "And the Lord heard it." You know, when you and I speak out of turn, or when we say something that is harsh to another person, or we're critical of another person, the Lord hears that. Did you know that? Do you think about that when you open your mouth and start speaking? Do you think, "Man, the Lord's listening in"? Now, you see, we kind of forget all about that, don't we? We go on in our life and we just continue on as if nothing important was going on, and we can just say whatever we want to. Let me encourage you, the Lord is listening to what you say. But it's interesting, with this criticism, Moses doesn't say a word. He does not reply. And the Bible says the reason for that was he was a meek individual. Now, he had had his times. He'd had his rough days. And the Lord had taken some divine sandpaper and kind of rubbed off the rough edges in his life, because he had to learn some really difficult lessons along the way. And now here he is, and he doesn't answer back to them at all. He doesn't say anything to them. Now, if that were you and me, we would answer back most likely in a hostile manner. We'd say, "You don't mean that, do you? Or you really are upset about that? Why are you upset? Why would you get like that?" Well, it's interesting. Then in verses 4 and 5, the Lord takes up Moses' case. He's in Moses' corner. And the Lord speaks suddenly, and he says to the three of them, he says, "All right, all three of you, you come out here to the tabernacle. I've got something I want to say to you." And so the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud, and now God begins to work on Miriam and Aaron, and basically God is vindicating Moses, his servant. And let me just say this to you. When you serve the Lord with the right heart attitude, He's in your corner. He's going to help you. He's going to give you the strength that you need. He's going to defend you when others might be critical against you. And it's important for us to remember that God is looking out for us when we serve Him. And the Lord says, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing this, He says, "If there be a prophet, I will make myself known to him," he says, "and I'll do that with visions, and I'll speak to them in a dream." And that's how they operated back in the Old Testament times. And that's how they knew what they should do, and all the rest. And you remember we studied the life of Daniel here on Wednesday nights, and how Daniel was able and capable of interpreting dreams and all of that. And that was because of the Lord's help. But in this particular case, he says, "But my servant Moses," he's in a different classification. He's not the same as you, Miriam and Aaron. You're not on the same wavelength that he is. My servant Moses, he says, is not so. With him I will speak to him. And the Bible says mouth to mouth, meaning face to face. He and I are going to talk face to face. Well, at the conclusion of that, the Lord then did something that really is amazing. Aaron looks over at Miriam and she is white. You know what the deal was? She got leprosy. And the Lord said, this is what's going to happen to you for disobeying me and being critical of my servant. Here you are. You're going to suffer through this with leprosy. Now, if you know anything about leprosy, that was the death knell. You were going to die if you had leprosy. And Aaron, he takes up Miriam's cause and he says, now Moses, you need to pray about this. You need to pray for her. You need to help her. She's going to die and she's as one who is dead. That's what he says. She's going to die here if you don't do something, Moses. So Aaron asked Moses to pray for her restoration. And he does. Now, for some of us, we'd say, hey, tough luck for you, honey. You're going to have leprosy and good riddance. You deserve that. That's not what Moses did, though, was it? And so here he was. So Aaron, he says to Moses, my Lord, lay not this sin upon us wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead. And Moses cried unto the Lord, heal her. And listen to what he says. And this is pretty aggressive on Moses' part. He says, and heal her right now. Now. You know what? That takes a lot of nerve to say that to the Lord, doesn't it? Don't you think? Heal her right now. But notice what happens. God restores her, but requires her to be ashamed apart from the rest of the camp for 7 days. It's kind of interesting. The Lord said, if her father had but spit in her face, that amazes me what he says. Should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out 7 days and after that received in again. So here she is. She's going to have the leprosy and she's going to get restored, but it's going to be 7 days that she is going to be separated from the rest of them. And the interesting thing is everyone in the camp now knows what the deal is. She's got leprosy. She spoke out of turn. She said some critical things against God's servant. And now she is going to pay the price for that. And she's going to be on the outside of the camp. And she's not going to be able to come into the camp. She's not going to be able to talk to anybody. Not going to be able to do anything with anybody. And notice in verse 15, it says, and Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. The whole camp is put on hold. They're not moving forward. They're not headed now to the promised land. They're being held up for these 7 days, for this whole week, because of her sin. Now, there's some great things for us to learn from this passage. First of all, Miriam. You want to go back in time and you understand that Miriam, of course, was Moses' babysitter. You remember that? And here was Moses put in the bulrushes in the little ark kind of a thing, and so he's floating in the river in the bulrushes, and Pharaoh's daughter saw him and she liked what she saw, and here is Miriam down there, and she's kind of watching from a distance to see what happens. And in turn, Miriam sees what's going on, and Pharaoh's daughter is going to take this baby home with her. And Miriam, you'll have to give her credit. She thought very quickly. She was a quick thinker. And she said to Pharaoh's daughter, she said, do you want me to get somebody to be the nurse for this baby? And she said, yeah, that'd be good. And what'd she do? She went and got Moses' mother, and she was the nurse for Moses. So Miriam's got some good sides to her. She's done some good things. She led the women in singing when they crossed the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was drowned in the sea, and they sang a song and they were praising the Lord. She was a worship leader back in that day. She is a prophetess. And here her younger brother was super successful. Unfortunately, she became jealous and envious of him. Now, Miriam's name, do you know what it means? It means the same as what Naomi changed her name. You remember Naomi and Ruth, and they'd had a terrible time there in Moab, and Naomi's husband died and all the rest. And she said, you can change my name to Mara. That's the same root name that Miriam has. Her name means bitter. Mara. In fact, if you go back to Ruth chapter 1, verse 20, she says, this is Naomi, she says, call me not Naomi. Naomi's name meant pleasant. She says, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And part of that problem was that Naomi and her husband and their sons had gone over into Moab, and that was forbidden territory. They disobeyed God and did what they wanted to do. And let me just encourage you here, when you step out of God's will, when you start doing things that you want to do instead of God's will, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Things are not going to go well for you. And, of course, this is the same name as Mary, the mother of Jesus. Her lot was bitter, for a sword pierced through her own soul, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 35. But her sorrow was turned into the most exalted joy in her son, Jesus Christ. Along with that in our story, here are the grassroots facts in this that they were looking for a reason to criticize Moses. They were looking for an excuse to attack Moses. When envy and jealousy rule our hearts, any excuse is good enough to attack the object of our envy. Most people who accuse God's servants rarely give the real reason for their disagreement. Did you know that? I've been down that road before. So Moses had married a Cushite. But this was no reason for being critical. It was an occasion for envy, but it was not a forbidden marriage. As long as Moses didn't marry a woman from one of the Canaanite nations, his marriage was acceptable to the Lord. So what he did here, there was nothing wrong with that. But they tried to make a big deal out of it. And so they had no grounds for their criticism. Along with that, there's a real problem when people try to exalt themselves. This is the problem with Aaron and Miriam. They said, hath he not spoken also by us? They said, listen, Moses, he's out there and he's telling people what to do, and he's out there saying how things are supposed to be and how they're supposed to obey the law, and he's given us all these rules and regulations to live life, but we're just as authoritative as Moses is. No, you're not. Along with that, they said, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. That's Luke chapter 18, verse 14. That word abased means humble. Jesus said that. Here we have a very striking illustration of the truth. Never put self forward. You see, we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Do you know that? And I'll be honest with you, this is one of the struggles that a lot of churches have and a lot of Christians have. It's this whole matter of who has the preeminence? Who is going to be in charge? Who is going to have the authority? And let me tell you, there's churches, they just fight over that, rub each other wrong over that. Let me tell you this, that God has an order that we're supposed to follow. If God wants you to be in a certain position, He will put you there. If He does not, and you put yourself there, you will be humbled because things will not go well for you if you do that. There's another lesson for us to learn in this. Meekness is not weakness. Did you know that? Meekness is really strength under control. The Hebrew root of the word translated meek is simply to be bowed down. Some translate it burdened, referring to all the troubles Moses had to carry. Moses was honest enough to record his sins and failures. This is the sign of godly character. Remember, anyone can be self-assertive, but who will be silent when criticism strikes? Moses was. The two finest and noblest Bible characters that are said to be meek, Moses and Jesus Christ. Those two, meek. Now, Moses. If Moses had been an arrogant man, one who prided himself in leading Israel, we might understand the attempts by Moses' brother and sister to push their way into the limelight. You want to remember that Moses could hardly be persuaded to even go back into Egypt and lead them out. He didn't have a whole lot of confidence at that point in time. Moses had never shown any envy of Aaron's position as high priest. He didn't say, boy, I wish I was the high priest. I mean, I wish I had that authority. No, Moses didn't do that. Along with that, he had fully approved of Miriam's ability as a prophetess and a woman's leader and all of the rest. He didn't put her down. It is clear that the problem was that they envied Moses' position and the respect the people had for Moses. They wanted Moses to move over and let them be acknowledged as his equal, if not his superior. After all, we're older than you, Moses. You don't need to forget that. But what's really neat is God vindicates His servant. If we leave our case in God's hands, He will take up our defense. Jesus did this for Mary. Do you remember Mary, His friend there, Mary, and she came and she anointed Jesus and poured this expensive ointment on Him and all the rest? Do you remember this? And you remember who criticized her for that? Old Judas. Boy, he got after that. He said, you've wasted the money. You've wasted this ointment. And the Lord took up her case, didn't He? He said, wait a minute. She's blessed me. This is a blessing to me. And you know, sometimes when you and I, our motive is pure and we want to help people, that's when we get the most criticism. Have you noticed that? Works that way, doesn't it? Unfortunately. But then, the thing that really grabbed me was the fact that in all of this, their envy and their accusations and their critical attitude, their arrogant spirit. The words that they said against Moses, the Lord heard it. You know, we need to be a lot more sensitive to that situation. When we're speaking out, we need to remember that the Lord's listening. See, that's hard for us to understand and think about because, you know, we go along and in our day and time, you know, we can turn off our technology. I can turn off my cell phone, which, boy, that's a temptation. And you can turn off all the technology and nobody can hear you and you can be in peace and quiet. But there's one thing you can't turn off, and that is the Lord's listening ear. You can't. You may think you can. You may think that you can get away from Him, that you can hide from Him, that you can go someplace where He won't hear you, He won't know what you're doing. I got news for you. He's everywhere. Watch that commercial, that Flo, and she, for the Progressive insurance people. She says, I'm everywhere. No, she's not. But God is. He's everywhere. David found that out. He said, man, I can't go here. I can't go there. I can't go up, down, sideways. I can't go any place. But what? The Lord isn't present with me. And the Lord is with you. And He's listening to what you say. And He knows your conduct. He knows the behaviors that you have. And He knows what you're doing. You better live like it. Amen? This is it. But the other thing that really got me in this whole business with Miriam and Aaron, it appears that Miriam was the ringleader. Her name is mentioned first in the accusations. Now, there's a lot of speculation that the reason that Aaron didn't get the leprosy is because he was the high priest. And if he got the leprosy, he'd be defiled and he couldn't be high priest anymore. And that would end that line of people. And then they'd have to start all over again and find somebody else to be high priest. And so he wasn't given the leprosy, but Miriam was. And she got it. And it talks about her being the one who was ashamed. And let me just say this to you. When you get caught in sin, there's shame involved. The better part of wisdom is don't get involved in sin. But boy, when we sin, you say, well, the Lord hasn't exposed my sin. There's a day coming when He will. You see, we don't take this seriously enough, do we? We really don't. We go along as if God's not paying attention. Now, back in the Old Testament, you know what happened? The punishment for sin was immediate. Bang, you sin, whoop, He reacted. And you paid the price. And here's Miriam, she sinned, and you know what? She was ashamed. She was embarrassed. You know what's really, really sad today? People aren't embarrassed about their sin. They just go on like, that's no big deal. You know, when I was in school and kids were caught in certain sins, you know what? They disappeared for a while. You didn't see them. And part of that was to escape the shame. You know what? Today, we don't think anything about that. We just go right on. No shame. Listen, in God's eyes, there's shame and there's embarrassment. And part of that is due to the fact that we've been disobedient to Him. We've broken His laws. And in turn, there is shame. There is embarrassment there. And look what happened to her. She was separated from all of her friends. She was separated from her family. She was separated from Moses and Aaron and all of these things. And it was because of her sin. And she's separated from everybody else. But see, it was a rebuke from the Lord. And when He rebukes us, that ought to shame us. That ought to embarrass us. The sin of criticism is far more serious than most people believe. So the delay meant shame for Miriam, for the whole camp knew what had happened. The rebellious sinner is always a cause of holding back the progress of God's people. You know, the goal here was for them to get into the promised land. The goal was that they were going to move gradually into the promised land, and they were on this trek, this trip, and they were making their way a little by little. I mean, you're moving 2 million people. That's not going to happen real fast, especially in that day, because they had to walk the whole way. And so here they're moving along. But now this particular time, for 7 days, they're not moving. They're not going toward the goal. They're not headed toward the promised land. They are stuck right there in that one spot. You see, sin causes God's program to not advance. Sin keeps us from going forward. Sin in God's people will hold the church back. It'll hold back the evangelistic fervor of a church even. Boy, we don't want that. But it's also a serious thing to try to usurp the authority God has given to others. That's really hard. Now, if you go over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews gives us an unusual insight into Moses' life and how the sacrifices he made for Israel, they're beautifully described there, and it describes what Jesus Christ has done for the whole world. There is a great comparison there. I thought about that. Jesus, like Moses, was rejected by members of His own family. Do you remember that? Even His own brothers did not accept Him as the promised Messiah. They couldn't believe that He was the Messiah. And it wasn't until after the Lord came out of the grave that James would believe. His half-brother, James. So Moses' family didn't believe Him. Christ's family didn't believe Him either. But there's another comparison. Jesus, like Moses, was rejected by the leadership of Israel. There were times when Moses went through this hard situation where they challenged his leadership and they weren't sure they were going to follow him. And going clear back to Egypt, they didn't know whether they should or shouldn't. They were a little confused about what they should do. Well, the leadership of Israel, they rejected Christ. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and other religious leaders were His greatest enemies. They caused all kinds of problems for Jesus. And they followed Him around. And they tried to ask questions that would trip Him up. And they would follow Him around to see what He was teaching. And they would try to challenge His messages and the teaching that He was giving. And they would fight with Jesus to hold Him back. Another side to that was that these religious leaders were threatened by the Lord's claims and His presence. Their primary motivation was jealousy, same problem that Moses faced. Along with that, Jesus, like Moses, was rejected by all Israel, not just the leaders, but everybody. The children of Israel as a nation rejected Jesus Christ. We need to remember He was also rejected by all of us. It wasn't just Israel's sin that crucified Jesus Christ. You know what my Bible says? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all of us. Furthermore, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And then Jesus, like Moses, prayed for those who persecuted him. Moses, he prayed for Miriam that the Lord would take the leprosy away from him. Our Lord prayed for those who persecuted him, for the ones that had hung him on the cross. And as he hung there on that cross, what did he do? He prayed and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, Moses repeatedly fell on his face and prayed that God would spare the lives of the children of Israel. As we've been studying this, we've seen numerous times where he said, Lord, forgive them. Lay this not to their account. Don't hold this against them. And our Lord prayed for those who crucified him as he was hanging on the cross. So for each one of us, how does this all shake out? Well, first and foremost, to understand the gospel, you have to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinful man. And he did that willingly, that you and I might be saved. Isn't that the best news? That's the best news. But along with that, we also learn as Christians how we're to live, how we're to walk with the Lord, how we're to be obedient to Him. Don't allow criticism, envy, arrogance, jealousy to take hold in your life. You see, if you're not really careful, you'll be in that situation before you even think about it. You start being critical of somebody, you start criticizing them, you start being down on them. And you know what? You start doing that and you think, well, they deserve that. Or you think, they just need to be corrected. You know who does the correcting? It's not you. It's not me. You know who takes care of the correction? The Lord. He's also the one that brings conviction to your heart and life. When you've sinned against Him, that little box inside of you that where your conscience lives starts to say, you shouldn't have done that. Or it says, don't do that. And then for those who've never trusted Christ, there is God's voice saying to you, trust me, come to me, know me as your Savior. And that's the greatest part of this whole thing, is that our Lord is willing to save your soul, cleanse you, make you a new creation, turn your life around. Let me tell you, that's the best thing that could ever happen to any of us.
We trust your heart has been blessed with this message from God's Word. We invite you to visit our services if you are in the area, or visit us again at our website, www.wealthypark.org. Join us again next week for another sermon. Wealthy Park Baptist Church, where our goal is to know Christ and to make Him known.